Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 10. Ethan and Weiss back here with you guys once again. Another depressing episode, another Giants loss. We're going to get into everything from Eric Flowers to Eli Manning in the defense. But first, we got to do the housekeeping. You guys know the drill. Go follow me on Twitter, at EthanGSN. Go follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. And subscribe. If you're listening to this through Audio Boom on Twitter or on the internet, subscribe to the iTunes channel. Every time I drop an episode in the morning, usually it's Wednesday morning. This week it is Tuesday morning, but it will be Wednesday morning going forward again. You get the notification on your iPhone that a new episode has dropped. We're also working on getting all of these podcasts from the Gotham Sports Network up on Google Play so that you guys on Android can listen to them as well. So subscribe. Follow everyone. Let's get into it. Weiss, how many episodes of The Office did you watch last night?
Last night I started season 6. It was actually a very good episode. It was the episode where Michael finds out Stanley's having an affair.
Oh, that's a great one.
Oh man, that's awesome, man. That's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, great episode. I'm blazing through it. I'm already on, season 9 where they kind of, get into it with the camera crew and they start revealing the reality show that's coming out about them.
Right.
I'm starting to transition back over to Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Man, I mean, the way this season's shaping out, you might need to start over again.
Listen, and you know what? I promise you that I can make it through seasons 1 through 8 easily before the end of the Giants season, especially if things keep up the way they're going.
Yeah, I mean, if you still see the same pathetic stuff like we saw yesterday, probably. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's start. Topic number one, I want to talk about Eric Flowers. My best friend, Eric Flowers, the guy who I've never said anything negative about ever in my entire life. let's just say this. Eric Flowers probably doesn't know who I am, but if I were to meet Eric Flowers, he'd probably do a million times worse to me than what he did to Jordan Rahn on yesterday. For those who don't know, I'll give the quick summary. Flowers was at his locker post-game being interviewed by Dan Duggan, who was a previous podcast guest. Hopefully we'll have him again soon. Being interviewed by Dan Duggan and another member of the Giants media, Rahnon walked over, and before he even got to ask a question, Flowers started yelling at him to get the F away from his locker. Leave, I don't want to talk to you. Rahnon basically said, no, I'm just doing my job. And Flowers shoved him, stumbled back a couple steps, which makes Rahnon the only guy that Eric Flowers was able to block that night, but I'm just needed to get that joke in there. Unacceptable behavior from Flowers off the field, unacceptable play from him on the field. I could go on and on. Weiss, I'm going to let you get a word in because I have a feeling that, I'm going to drone on a little bit about Eric Flowers and his performance, so I'll let you start.
I mean, for me, it's very simple. I've had hope in Eric Flowers. I thought he played well through the first couple of weeks, much better than last year, but it seems like with him, we took 2 or 3 steps forward, and now we're taking, 10 steps back. We're seeing the same mistakes again, same struggles. He is just as much to blame as anyone else from yesterday's game. Kind of touching on the locker room incident, I mean, that's totally, totally unacceptable, no matter who it is, not even if it's Eric Flowers, if it's anyone in the locker room. You can't do stuff like that. You have to respect what people do. They have a job, and you have a job, and, when the going gets tough, you gotta face the microphone, and you gotta answer questions, so.
Yep.
Totally unacceptable behavior. I hope he gets disciplined. I know he will, and, look, man, I got, it's disappointing. I mean, I got nothing else for that. On that, I'll let you do the rest.
All right. Stat line was one holding penalty that essentially helped end a Giants drive, gave up a sack, and also allowed 7 hurries. I gifted some of them. They were atrocious. Some of them, he was trying to block with his head. His technique was atrocious. I'm not even an offensive line coach, and I could tell just by watching the game. Bobby Hart, by the way, I feel like people are easing up on Bobby Hart because Eric Flowers is the one in the crosshairs right now. as he should be, because he's the first round pick and he has the expectations to live up to. And Bobby Hart, at the end of the day, Bobby Hart's just a seventh round pick filling in for Marshall Newhouse, who is not spectacular by any means. But at the end of the day, Eric Flowers not producing. I want to get this in because I feel like a lot of people miss this or don't listen to the Giants post game, especially after a loss like that and the debate was going on. But they essentially had the panel of David Deal, Amani Toomer, and Sean O'Hara. And I tweeted this out, but Amani Toomer and David Deal essentially said that Flowers' play was unacceptable, that Eli clearly looked rattled in the pocket, was hearing footsteps, and then Sean O'Hara just came out and said it. I audibly gasped because I could not believe what he had said on TV about a Giants player. He said, "Eric Flowers is a coach killer."
Ooh.
And he's not wrong, because Pat Flaherty got fired at the end of last season after Eric Flowers' dismal rookie year. And Pat Flaherty was the Giants' offensive line coach from 2004 to 2015. So essentially for the entire time O'Hara was a Giant, when the Giants had that one offensive line that played, you know, I don't even know how many games in a row together, O'Hara, Deal, McKenzie, that crew. Mm-hmm. Clearly some sour grapes from O'Hara, but I don't think he's wrong. And Eli just doesn't trust him. We'll get into Eli's problems later because it's more than just the offensive line. I'll admit it, he hasn't been good. But at the end of the day, Bobby Hart hasn't been great. I'll give you this. He had a good couple first games. But like you said, 2 steps forward, 10 steps back. Eric Flowers, you know, reared his ugly head again, allowing these pressures and these sacks. And, you know, there's a stat that I want to bring up if we're getting into more nitty-gritty details. But basically, on the screen, they showed kind of a statistic. It was Eli Manning versus Aaron Rodgers in the pocket versus out of the pocket. Or not in the pocket, out of the pocket. It was Eli versus Rodgers holding the ball for less than 2.5 seconds versus more than 2.5 seconds. You remember that stat?
I came across a lot of stats, but you can read it to me.
I don't have the exact numbers, but Aaron Rodgers' passer rating was over 110 after 2.5 seconds, and Eli Manning's was in the 70s. Now,
that's
awful. Now, I have a few explanations for that, at least what I think. You know, I haven't dove into the math that much or taken a look at all these advanced analytics. But at the end of the day, you look at what happened specifically last night. If you take last night's game and you look at it under a lens, Giants are rushing four rushers, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers has a goddamn picnic behind his offensive line, holding the ball. You can't even get a coverage sack. That's how bad the pass rush was last night. He's sitting there all day, and it's impossible to cover for 8 seconds, so obviously he's going to find an open man. For Eli Manning, when he's holding the ball for longer than 2.5 seconds, he's either under duress or he's running outside the pocket. And Eli Manning is not a mobile quarterback. Aaron Rodgers can throw on the run. He's had success with that. He can run for the first down. And I want to get into this more when we talk about game planning. But Eli Manning is not a mobile quarterback. He's never been able to get it done with his legs. He's not great at throwing on the run. So, you know, if you don't give a guy like Eli Manning time, the results are going to be disastrous. And it starts with the offensive line. Eric Flowers has not been good. Bobby Hart hasn't been good. I guess John Jerry's been okay, or maybe we just haven't noticed because of how bad Eric Flowers and Bobby Hart were.
The interior offensive line as a whole, Jerry, Pugh, and Richburg have all played well. And that was, to me, was kind of expected. So it's the two tackles. And like you said, for me with Flowers is I understand he's young, and I understand he had a rough rookie year. But what my expectation was, he had to be better than what he was last year. And for the first couple weeks, he was good. Not good. He was an average okay. Chris Collins sort of mentioned it many times. He was okay, and I'll leave it at that. But, you know, you can't possibly be that bad. I mean,
yep.
It's unbelievable. He just looks confused. He looks lost. I understand left tackle is a tough, tough position to learn, and I understand he's still young and raw. But, I mean, it's just inexcusable. We can't keep using the same reasons for his struggles. I mean, at some point, he has to get it. And you can't keep getting rid of coaches because this guy's not getting it. So he deserves the some blame as well. If you want to go into Eli, we can go into Eli right now. It's up to you.
Sure. Let's go into Eli.
You know, for me, for Eli Manning, it's it's tough because I love the guy. But I just think that we're not seeing the same pocket awareness, the poise, the ability to step up and make a throw. See, I understand the offensive line was bad yesterday, but it's been good collectively through the first 3-4 games of the season.
Can I chime in here? And my point is going to actually help your argument.
Sure.
The offensive line last year was, to call it awful, would be probably a compliment. It was atrocious last year, and Eli Manning still had success.
Right. Yeah, that is true, and it was much improved through the first 4 weeks. I think it took kind of a step back last night. But, you know, even when he had a clean pocket, he missed throws, missed the one-to-Will tie, missed Beckham on a couple of occasions. Here for me, yesterday's game, if you look at it black and white, it's very simple. Take away everything. Eli Manning misses Will Tye on a 65, it would have been a 60-yard touchdown pass if he hits him in stride. I mean, Will Tye would have still been running right now. He misses him there. The next play, fumbles the ball. Green Bay gets 3 out of that. The Giants end up losing the game 23-16. So, you know, we can all do the math and figure that out for ourselves. But, I mean, this is I'm paying this guy $18 to $20 million. And, you know, like you said, the offensive line was bad last year. And I just feel like he's making bad mistakes. And these are mistakes that I haven't seen from Eli in a while. And it's just coming up now. And I hope this is just a slump and he can get out of it. And I know every year they seem to start off slow and get it going. But, I mean, he's got to get it going now. I mean, yesterday they're playing one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. And it seems like, you know, he just can't get it going. I look at every game differently. He played Minnesota. I expected his struggles against Minnesota. But Green Bay, this is one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. And I expect more from – and they're missing their top two corners. And I expect more from my quarterback. The weapons are there. I understand the offensive line had his struggles. But even when he had protection, he missed a lot of throws. So, you know – we can blame the offensive line. We talked about Eric Flowers. Touched on Bobby Hart. The offensive line as a whole played bad. But, I mean, you know, Eli Manning hasn't played well through the last 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, it's starting to be more of a concern. And I'm hoping it's just a slump. So I'll let you handle that.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think it's I just don't think it's time to hit the panic button, if we're being totally honest here. I mean, I think I need to rephrase that before, you know, I'll let you just come in with the comment. But it's not time to push the panic button on Eli Manning. I think there's other areas that are of more concern, and I think Eli should be given the benefit of the doubt, given his track record the last couple years.
Right. I wouldn't say I'm hitting the panic button on him, but you know, I said last night, I said if they can't get it going against this pass defense, missing their top two corners, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know when they can. And I know we got a question in there from somebody on there.
Plenty of questions.
About that. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know when. What I will expect from this team going forward. I expected more. I share one thing with you, I always go back and I watch some games, and I watched that last touchdown drive by the Giants, and Eli Manning had much better pocket awareness, much better ability to know when to get out of the pocket, and he made some good throws. The touchdown to Beckham, he put the ball in a great place where only Beckham could get it. That was a great catch, by the way.
I thought he was trying to throw it away, if we're being totally honest.
I thought he tried to give his wide receiver a shot. I mean, I know.
I'm saying like how amazing of a catch it was, because I thought that was going way out of the end zone.
Right. Yeah. I understand that. But he put it in a spot where only his receiver could get it. But just leading his team down the field, I thought he showed more pocket awareness and was smart and made the right throws. But I just need more of that from Eli. So, yeah. Yeah, I need more from Eli.
Okay, here's the thing, and it's going to start with Eli, and I'm going to tell you where it's going to end up. It's going to end up with Reese and McAdoo, and it's not that Eli's absolved of criticism, because the criticism goes around, okay? It starts at the top. Listen to this, okay? We were talking last night, and we were just trying to figure out what the hell has gotten into Eli Manning. What is wrong with this offense? Okay? You have a two-time Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion, who went from 4,400 yards, 35 touchdowns, career-low interceptions, career-high in completion percentage, and he's putting up dud after dud after dud. Okay? The defense got better. We'll talk about it later. But, I mean, there's nowhere to go but up from last year's defense, okay? Defense got better. He's still in McAdoo's offense.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line didn't get worse. It couldn't have been worse from last year. Same as the defense. Couldn't have been worse.
And I'll push you one. I'll say they got better than last year.
The offensive line?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fine. That's fair because Eric Flowers had like allowed like 40 hurries last year or something ridiculous. So
they're
better than last year. He has more weapons and better weapons than last year. Okay? Last year it was Odell, Reuben Randall, Dwayne Harris. Now he's got Cruz back and Sterling Shepard. Okay, the weapons are there. What in the world is wrong with Eli? Now, he's missing passes. Okay, it's obvious. You look at the game tape. I was actually just, I'll see if I can find this guy's Twitter to give him a little plug. Because he was going through some of the game tape from yesterday, and he basically had like four or five screenshots of Eli just missing open receivers, missing Odell Beckham open, and it just wasn't a good look, okay? I admit it, he's not been good. I'll say it again, to give up on a guy who just last year had 4,400 yards and 35 touchdowns, however many fewer interceptions, okay? I'm looking at you, Larry Soprano, who I was fighting with today on Twitter. Eli's never been a perfect quarterback, okay? But I refuse to believe that this guy has regressed so badly in 1 year. I refuse to believe that this is the Eli we're going to see for the rest of the season.
Yeah, can I say one thing about that?
Yeah, because I'm going to transition into coaching, so I'll let you get a point.
Yeah, before we get to this, that's not a shot at Larry. Me and Larry have a good friendship going on.
Oh, no, me too. I love Larry. That's not a shot. I just like to, I bust balls.
This is more for everyone that has this mindset that we need to turn the page. Do you think a lot of this has to do because of what's happening in the division with Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott?
And let me say this. Did you watch Paxton Lynch this weekend?
I did not. I didn't watch any.
I watched Paxton Lynch, and you bring up an excellent point because of how good Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott have looked so far. Minimal mistakes, leading their team to the top of the division, and obviously they're in Giants fans' heads because these are the guys that we're directly competing against. Paxton Lynch looked like a rookie quarterback, okay? He wasn't great. The Falcons obviously won, and Paxton Lynch didn't look good. I think a lot of people expect us to just take a rookie with, you know, a top five pick and just plug him in immediately. That doesn't happen.
Not even a top five pick. But you can even say a second, third round pick.
Sure.
It's hard to find quarterbacks and develop them to that. I mean, look, Prescott has played, good. You know, Wentz has played good, but it's not that easy. You know, if it was that easy.
There's a reason that the 49ers are in the locker room, are complaining and want Blaine freaking Gabbert not starting, and they want Christian Ponder instead. That's how bad the quality of quarterback play is in the NFL.
If it was that easy, everyone would have a franchise quarterback. It's not. So you got to take the good with the bad. I want to believe that it's just a slump, and that's what I'm going with for now. I think he's just in a slump to start the season, and I think he can get out of it because I think these slow starts have happened before in the past, possibly not to this degree, but people that are thinking that we can just go into the draft and find another quarterback that quickly and have him come in and we'll be, you know, what the Cowboys are now, what the Eagles are. It's not that easy. If it was that easy, everyone would be doing it, and everyone would have a franchise quarterback right now.
I mean, give me a break. People are thinking, like, Deshaun Watson's going to come in here and just turn this franchise around. I mean, if you look at, like, what Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz are doing, listen, I'll give Carson Wentz some props. He's been good. He's been making some throws. But Dak Prescott is not making that many incredible throws. He's been primarily a game manager. He's got the best offensive line in the league. He's got probably one of the top five running back in the league in Ezekiel Elliott. And on top of that, he hasn't been impressive enough for Jerry Jones to come out and say,
they're going back to Romo.
They're going back to Romo, which makes no sense to me, by the way. But they're going back to Romo.
It does to me. And I'll tell you why really quick. It's too much. They see too much dink and donk stuff with Dak Prescott. It's very limited in what they can do. They want Romo in there so they can turn the ball deep. I think they got a better shot with Romo beating a good team, Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona, with that than a rookie quarterback. So I think going back to Romo is the right thing to do, but it better work because you don't want to have a controversy there. But go ahead.
No, that's fair. That's a good point. All right, so I want to transition to the coaching real quick. I don't even know if this is like in the order of things we were doing. We haven't touched on the defense. We went Flowers, Eli. I'm going to do play calling, then we'll do defense because they kind of play into each other. Listen, the post-game comments from Eli and McAdoo, and it's something that we've heard the past 2 weeks, is that opponents are keeping two safeties deep. They're running cover two on the Giants.
It's the same thing.
How is this perplexing to a veteran quarterback like Eli Manning? How is this perplexing to head coach Ben McAdoo that to figure out a cover two defense and execute underneath? Now, there's just so much that plays into it. I'm going to try to formulate my thoughts in a coherent manner, but I apologize if I can't, okay? You have two safeties deep. Eli can't do it with his legs. He's obviously a very limited quarterback, okay? He's not going to be able to survey the field and say, oh, nothing's open. Let me go run for a first down. The Giants don't have much of a running game either right now, okay?
Right.
So they don't have Vereen. They lost Jennings. It's just not good. So they don't have a running game to use as kind of a threat to counter the cover two. They don't have a quarterback that can run to counter, keeping two safeties deep. And the Packers are getting pressure with four men. So you're essentially allowing them to drop everyone back into coverage. So not only do they have two safeties deep, they've got all their linebackers. They got cornerbacks playing man. It's not great. And that is a result of McAdoo not being able to make the adjustments, whether that's before the game, at halftime, mid-game. And that's also a testament to Jerry Reese, who, one, these defenses are getting pressure rushing four. Okay, your tackles stink. We know that. We just went over that. Eli doesn't have a reliable playmaking tight end who can really go over the middle. Listen, I know he missed Ty on the big play, but let's not act like Ty is, you know, in the top half of tight ends in the league. He can't block, and he's very limited otherwise. Okay, he's a decent route runner, but he's nothing special. And we're talking about Eli Manning, a guy who has made tight ends better than they are basically his entire career. Okay, we've agreed on that before. There's no tight end, no running game, mediocre tackles, McAdoo's lack of ability to adjust mid-game. There's problems all over the place. And, you know, you can chalk it up to McAdoo's growing pains as a head coach. This is you can't really say, you know, lay off the guy because he's been in the organization. This is his third year.
Absolutely not.
So, you can't. Especially in New York, when you have a quarterback who is, I'm not going to say quickly because a lot of people want to hit the panic button. When you have a quarterback who is, you know, starting to enter the tail end of his career, okay, 35, he's no spring chicken anymore. You can't be wasting time like this, okay? That's why Jerry Reese went out and threw $200 million to the defense, because to go out there and draft a bunch of defensive playmakers and develop them isn't an overnight process. They're trying to plug holes. They're trying to win now. They're trying to get the rest, the best they can out of Eli Manning for his, you know, next couple years. That's it.
And that's why he went out, and when you look at the draft, that's why he went out. He got a Sterling Shepard. He got a Paul Perkins. He got playmakers on that offense specifically, you know, when we talk about Perkins and Shepard. And you can even throw in Jarrell Adams if you want to get a little early on that. But he brought him in so that they can be those playmakers. But with my thing, like you said, it's the cover two with the two safeties deep, and they just can't figure out what to do. And that's on McAdoo.
Because it's probably the most simple defensive arrangement in the NFL.
I know Eli's the quarterback, and I know he should be able to help, but this is the offensive coordinator who got this job because, like you say, he's this offensive genius, and he's supposed to be able to figure these things out.
Absolutely.
And look, it's not growing pains to me. It's just – it's him being inept. I don't understand why you can't make these adjustments. You know, I will say the play calling was a lot better yesterday. I thought they did a good job mixing it up a little bit.
Specifically, that Perkins screen was. Oof, I love that.
Paul Perkins is a playmaker. I understand his blitz. He can't pick up on blitzes, and his pass protection is weak.
He's a rookie.
But listen, you get the ball in his hands, man, and don't you get that Beckham feeling a little bit when you see the ball get in his hands?
That's a bit of a stretch, but I do like the play calling that he's involved with.
But when Perkins gets the ball, what do you expect? I expect to see him break loose a little bit. I've seen it a couple times. That screen play, I wouldn't say as far as Beckham, but when he gets the ball in his hands, he can do things. So they got to find a way to get him more involved. But McAdoo, I mean, I can't. I just don't. It's very simple, and it doesn't matter who the personnel are. The Saints did it. The Vikings did it. The Redskins did it. The Packers did, and it doesn't. You don't have to have great safeties, good safeties, missing safeties, have all-pro safeties. They're putting too deep, and they're taking pressure off the corners to just play short. Like you said, they're getting there with four. That's an offensive line issue. I agree with you. That's a personnel problem, and that Jerry Reese should be held accountable for that. But you know, even when the offensive line was playing okay, it's still the same thing that's beating this team, and it goes back to McAdoo for me. You have to figure something out. You have to get creative. You have to get cute a little bit, and you have to be. You got to get the ball in these playmakers' hands. If you don't get the ball in a playmaker's hand, he's it's pointless to have him here. You know, it's he's not doing anything. If you got to get Beckham the ball, you got to get Shepherd the ball. You got to get Cruz the ball. You got to get Perkins involved. Now, I'm going to put Perkins in that category because I think if he's a playmaker, and they're just not doing it right now. It doesn't make any sense to me. And one thing McAdoo said today that I really liked. He didn't seem committed on that offensive line. So don't be surprised if you see some changes this week.
And he may not have a choice, if we're being totally honest, because after Flowers' outburst in the locker room, it may be Will Beatty starting at left tackle next week. We don't know what the punishment's going to be, but.
You think they'll bench Flowers?
I don't think they're going to have a choice.
You think he's going to get... I mean, I think a fine is going to be there. I think
100% fine.
Yeah, 100% fine. But do you see him getting suspended or benched?
It's possible. I mean, if you think about... So if the fine's going to come from the league, there's got to be some sort of team discipline.
You think the fine's going to come from the league, or is it going to come from... I guess it'll come from the league.
It's going to come from the league. But
right.
I think McAdoo has no choice but to bench him. Not only did he play one of the worst games we've ever seen him play at left tackle, but on top of that, between what's been going on with Beckham, now you've got Flowers acting like a total head case. He's got to do something to show that he's got some sort of control over that locker room. And I think that's going to come in the form of, a one-game bench for Eric Flowers.
I think so too. I think you have to bench him, whether it's for a half a game. You got to send a message. You got to discipline your team. It's totally unacceptable. But you said of Beckham. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How do you think the reaction would be if this was Odell Beckham that not even shoved a reporter, but simply told him to get the whatever Eric Flowers said? Could you imagine?
No, and I think I tweeted something similar to that yesterday. It would be a media nightmare.
Could you? They got mad at him for hitting his helmet off a net, which he made up with the net yesterday.
That was great. I love the self awareness.
That was amazing. That hug was amazing.
It was awesome.
It made me laugh. But they got mad at him for hitting his head on a helmet on a net. I mean, they would have crucified him. It's unbelievable that they're not going after Eric Flowers.
Yeah.
It all goes back to what gets you clicks, right?
Well, yeah, you're right. And listen, I don't know what Ronan's thought process was after the fact, but he came out with that Eli piece like hours after he got assaulted by Eric Flowers, and I don't know if he's got any sort of brain damage, but I just totally disagreed with the sentiment of his article.
It made some sense. I read it. Listen, it's your quarterback. You expect big things from your quarterback in big games.
I understand that. Listen, we agree. Eli's not been making plays. But he's talking about, like, the last 4 years. You're talking about when they had zero offensive line, when they had one of the worst defenses in NFL history, and Eli Manning's putting up points against the Patriots, against the Saints. Eli Manning battled it out. And, yes, he has his flaws, but to say that the last 4 years Eli Manning just hasn't, he's been one of the reasons that the Giants stink, I mean, that's almost like saying that the Giants are like 6-something under Odell Beckham in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree that he's one of the reasons, but I think that, you know, I thought about this today after I read that article. When was the last time, maybe we discussed this too, when was the last time the Giants...
I already know your question. It's been a while.
When was the last time the Giants beat a non-NFC East playoff team? In 2013, years. They beat the Packers. Tolzien was a quarterback. So I said, forget about that because Tolzien was a quarterback. It wasn't Aaron Rodgers there. Now let's see, before that, when was it? So I said, they beat Green Bay on a Sunday night back in 2012. Green Bay, I think, was a playoff team that year. But before that, they also beat San Francisco. Remember that game back in 2012 when they beat them down in San Francisco? So it's been a while, but it goes back to, like, these games where their secondary is depleted. You know, I just expect more than what I saw yesterday under 200 yards passing from my quarterback. And, you know, we can debate about offensive line and things, but, you know, you're paying this guy $20 million. You know, and I understand that, you know, there are some issues on the offensive line. But at some point, you know, there's a lot of teams out there that don't have a good offensive line, but they find ways to win games, you know. Aaron Rodgers didn't have a great offensive line for a while. I know he's a mobile quarterback, but you know he was making plays, winning games for them. I need more from Eli, man. I expect more, and that I don't think that there should be anything wrong with expecting more from a guy that I consider to be one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league.
No, so, there isn't. I'm just more adamant about splitting out the blame. I think.
Of course, listen. There's been the last 4 years. There's plenty of blame to go around to everyone. From top to bottom, there is plenty of blame to go around to anybody. And even into this year, there's enough blame to go around to anyone in this organization. It's not one person or one department or the quarterback. It's all over the board. It's all over the board. The way they've handled this, the way they handle the Coughlin thing, it's. And I don't mean to get off topic, but it's... From the John Mayer press conference, throwing his GM under the bus while his GM is sitting right there.
Yep.
The way they handled it was just awful. It's just awful. But
agreed.
The blame is to go. There's blame to go all over.
All right. Let's do the defense, and then I'll give a reason to be optimistic. I know I said we'd do like three reasons, but I just didn't have time to think of any. That's going to be a new segment I think we're going to do. After a loss, we're going to do three funny reasons of optimism, and after a win, three funny reasons of pessimism. If you have them, you can read them, but I don't have them handy. But let's talk about the defense first. Let me ask you kind of a crass question here. What the fuck is Spagnuolo doing?
Listen, I know I've been hard on Spagnuolo this past couple weeks. The defense is winning a lot on talent. This defense has talent. Do we and you both agree on that?
Yeah.
This defense has talent.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question now?
Sure. I want to ask you a question after this, too.
if you were to rank cornerbacks in this league so far of how they played in this year so far, has Janoris Jenkins played like a top five corner in this league?
Probably.
I mean, before the interceptions weren't there, but now he has two picks, both in one game. First time since Sean Taylor did that in Lambeau Field. You know, he's played lights out. They're winning on talent. Vernon and JPP, I know they aren't getting sacks, but they're playing really, really well. They're playing well, and they play good. They're not getting off the field. There's no rotation. There's no mixing it up. There's no disguises. There's no nothing. It's just the same four. I feel like he's running the same blitzes with the same plays that he ran in 2007, the same middle line. Listen, I told the guy this morning, blitzing is a work of art. You have to disguise people. You got to confuse the quarterback, make him think something is coming, throw him off his game. It's not just about beating. It's not always just about beating the man in front of you. Sometimes it's a mental thing too. And it seems like Spagnuolo can't come up with this creativity so that you know they can get to the quarterback. And it's wearing down Vernon. It's wearing down JPP. And we're back here talking about it again. So go ahead. What was your question?
You said the Giants are their defense is good. Because of the talent, right?
Right.
I agree. They're talented. Mm-hmm. Then how in the hell... Okay, I'm not going to F-bomb there. I already F-bombed once. Bad Ethan. Right. Okay? How in the hell are they still dead last in sacks? And are they still dead last in interceptions?
They got two. I don't know what's going on in the rest of the league, but Well, then they have more. Do they have only two, or did they get one previously as well?
I think they. I could look it up. But I mean,
no, that was their first turnover. So right. Yeah, there's only two interceptions.
Minnesota has an awesome front four.
Right.
Zimmer blitzes all the time. He is dialing up blitzes. He is having his defensive line attack the quarterback on stunts. He's sending safeties. He's sending cornerbacks. He's sending linebackers. What in the hell is Spagnuolo doing? You have the two 4-3 defensive ends who were top five in quarterback pressures last year, and you're sending only them. Now, Snacks Harrison has been an excellent addition, and his addition was specifically to stop the run. He was not known as a pass rusher.
Thank you very much.
Same with Hankins, okay?
Preacher.
And they've done a great job of stopping the run, okay? And yep. The same goes for Vernon and JPP. They've been great against the run. Aaron Rodgers set up a goddamn picnic behind his offensive line yesterday, okay? The problem just goes further than them just not getting pressure with the front four, because you do see teams like the Packers did yesterday getting pressure with only the four. Now, some of that probably has to do with scheming, because he's just literally having them run straight at the quarterback. He's not having them come in on stunts or anything creative. He's hardly rotating them out, although I did see a little bit of Kerry Wynn yesterday, I believe. But even still, when Kerry Wynn came in, they were rushing four. So you got a guy coming on cold off the bench. Okay? So think of it this way. You have Aaron Rodgers sitting behind an offensive line. Five members of an offensive line. Okay, this is simple math. You got five members of an offensive line, and Spagnuolo's only rushing four. Who does Aaron Rodgers have next to him in the backfield? A running back. So now you have four pass rushers who are trying to beat six different blockers. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers is taking his sweet-ass time back there, surveying the entire field. Okay, this defense, and when they're healthy, they probably do have the talent to get these coverage sacks where you can just, you know, only rush four, and Apple and DRC and Jenkins, they'll lock up the receivers forever. But it's not going to happen all the time, especially on all these third and manageables where they can't get off the field. It exhausts the defensive line because they got to stay on for another damn series, and you're just not getting any turnovers. Okay, Jenkins got two yesterday, but before that, they were dead last in sacks, dead last in interceptions, and they very well still might be. I don't have the numbers in front of me. You cannot have such a lack of creativity with the talent you have on that defense. This is going to be the end of my preach, but we did have a question about whether or not they could let Spags go mid-season, and I'll answer that later. So I don't want to comment on that now, but I'll let you go.
I mean, you hit around that. You said four pass rushers. It's actually two.
Yeah,
it's
because I just mentioned that. Yes, exactly.
And listen, it's third and long, right? We're talking third and long. The Packers are not going to run the ball. Get your four DNs in there. Mix it up a little bit. Maybe keep Hankins, but take Harrison out the game.
Can we send Landon Collins on a blitz? I mean, what is he doing?
And there's one play. He sends Leon Hall on a blitz. Olivia Vernon drops into coverage. What is this? Well, I mean, I'm watching this. I'm like, what am I watching? He's calling the same plays he's called for the last 10 years. It's terrible. And it's, I don't want to hear that, oh, we don't got any linebackers, or oh, these $200 million players aren't playing well, this on the GM. No, I understand I don't go after Jerry Reese as much as everyone else does, but I don't blame him. This is talent. He went out, he got you Vernon. He brought back JPP. He added a corner who's playing well. Injuries happen. Every team the Giants have faced are facing some sort of injuries. The Packers had the same depleted secondary. But what do? They come up with a game plan that will work. The Giants are not doing that. Third down, you put OV on the inside. You put, whether you want to put Owa, you want to put Aquara, you want to put Wynn, whoever you want to put, stick them on the outside. Ball is snapped, you mix them around. OV then bounces outside. Owa comes, these are disguises. This is how you confuse the offensive line. You said Zimmer. What does Zimmer do so well? Yeah, he blitzes, but what is so great about him? It's disguises, confuses the quarterback. You know, it's unbelievable how inept this guy has been, and they're getting by talent. No matter what anyone says, they're not getting by coaching. They're getting by talent.
And that's why Spags is getting a pass for that. It's really pissing me off.
He is, and he's not being talked about enough because they're getting by with talent. And when the third and fourth quarter comes around, and they start missing tackles because guys are worn down, and they're unable to recover fumbles. It's bad. Third down and 10, You know they're going to Cobb. You put Trevin Wade on Cobb. Another third down, he's got Landon Collins in the slot covering Randall Cobb. I understand people. I understand that, you know, we have injuries, but you can't. What good does it come out of putting Landon Collins on Randall Cobb on a third down in the slot? It just doesn't make any sense to me. He's not utilizing the. When I say he's not utilizing players correctly, this is what I mean.
Yep. And then two more things I want to touch on defensively before we get into the questions, because I don't want to run too long today. One is the argument that, oh, well, you know, if the secondary is injured, they can't send, you know, the extra blitzer. That's total bullshit, because regardless of whether or not the secondary is healthy, he doesn't blitz.
You're just making excuses.
It's not an issue of health. And the second thing is, how the hell is Trevin Wade still on the team? It makes no sense to me. You know, I understand he's being paid to be a backup, and he's not going to be in there every play, and especially when players are healthy. Okay, he's an insurance policy. He's a backup plan. We saw how bad of a backup plan he was last year. There was really no one else out there who at least had more upside than Trevin Wade. As soon as Trevin Wade comes into the game, the opposing quarterback says, oh, that's number 31. We're going to go right after him, and they almost always have success.
Yeah, he's not a slot cornerback.
No.
He's not. I mean, you can get by with him on the outside, probably, for a play or two. He made some plays yesterday. I think he played fairly okay. I know that was like he gave up a couple of third-down conversions, but he was better than when he was against Minnesota. But it's just, you know, we can't keep making the same excuses every single time for this guy. I mean, it's written on the wall for him. He hasn't been good. It's almost been a decade, 10 years, 10 years. I've never seen one guy get so much out of one season that I'm seeing with this guy. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable. It doesn't make sense to me.
All right. Let me give a quick little optimistic take, and then we'll get into questions, unless you have an optimistic take.
Well, you go ahead. Maybe I'll think of one.
Giants have played 3 road games. Okay, they're 1-2. Mm-hmm. The 3 teams that they played on the road are 12-1 when not playing the Giants, and 11-0 when not playing each other. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Giants lost to good teams. We understand the Giants have flaws. You know, we like to get carried away, but coming into the season, we knew that they'd be far from a perfect team. Okay? They played poorly yesterday. They lost by 7 on a short week at Lambeau with the Packers coming off a bye. Okay? So they had 2 weeks. Giants had 6 days. It was a 7-point game in the fourth quarter last week in Minnesota. There's plenty of reason to be concerned. But the fact of the matter is, the Giants are in these games, and they simply just need to make plays. And, you know, we talked about it against the Redskins, especially going into Minnesota. If they hold on and win that Redskins game, the narrative for the season is totally different. Yeah. You know, it's why I'm not giving up on this team. You know, I get frustrated. I yell. I scream. You know, Ereck Flowers stinks. Spagnuolo stinks. Okay, the team has flaws. We understand that. But at the same time, there's people talking about tanking for a quarterback. Guys, no. The Giants are very much still in this. Okay, it's 2-3. They've got 3 very winnable games coming up. If they go 2-1 in these games and go into the bye at 500, 2 things. One, I think that is probably on par with preseason expectations for most people. And 2, you're forgetting that, you know, the NFC East opponents still have yet to play the Vikings, the Packers. You know, they got to play these tough teams too, okay? So, you know, give me Eli Manning against Aaron Rodgers and the Vikings defense over any of these rookie quarterbacks any day. It's a long season. I know I'm not the one to be preaching patience, but patience, there is hope. There's hope that McAdoo figures it out. There's plenty of hope that Eli snaps out of it and starts playing like he did the last 2 seasons. So, you know, let's try to take this 1 week at a time. We'll point out the issues when they're there, as we've done the entire season, but the season is far from over.
And I'll give a pessimistic take. We'll flip the script. You usually say the way around.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Here it is. For me, everything you just said is accurate. I had them at 3-2 at this point. You, I don't know where you had them. You probably had them at 3-2 as well. They could win the next 2 games, be 4-3, and you know it's a different story heading into the bye. But nothing over the last 4 years has told us that you can expect that to happen. we are going down the same road we've been going down the last couple years, and I know this team has more talent, but it just seems like for the past couple years they've had their head up there. You know what? As bad as this team was last year, they were in position to win the NFC East. They came unprepared against the Redskins, and it all went to shambles after that. And this year, I told people this yesterday and today. I don't blame you for jumping off the ship because of what recent history has told us. But you got to look at the history, and right now the history is telling us that there's no reason to be optimistic about this team. So I'll leave it at that. And in terms of tanking, I don't think that will happen. Because that just doesn't, you don't do that. And even if they get a top five pick, I think they're taking a pass rusher from Texas A&M over those two quarterbacks. So let's stop with that, please.
Yeah, I'm on the Lamar Jackson hype train anyway. So even if I did like want a quarterback, we'd have to wait another year.
I like Lamar, but I got to see more if he can be a pocket passer.
I don't know. I think he has, and I really truly do think that he is a pass first quarterback who has the legs to just do it when he needs to, and it also just adds like another element, you know, read option. But that's neither here nor there. Let's not get into it. Let's take on some questions. Should the Giants draft Kaiser or Watson? Good one, Larry. Weiss and I disagree. They're not going to finish with a top five pick this year.
And if I had to choose between the two, I'd probably take Deshaun Watson.
As would I. Okay, we have a hot take. Eli is playing poorly on purpose in protest of Coughlin being let go. That's from my guy, Go-Chan. I like Go-Chan. I'm just going to say that right now. He's got the Bordy Barn stickers in his profile picture. He's also a teacher. He's teaching America's future. And I think he gives his kids bonus points if they're on their quizzes if they're Giants fans. So
That's what's up.
Go-Chan. Drew has two questions. When will the big three finally be incorporated together into the offense, and how much hope do you have left that this team can still win the division? Part one, I mean, they are being incorporated into the offense. I feel like every set the Giants run is basically a three wide receiver set. It's just an issue of utilizing them properly.
Right.
And how much hope do I have? I just said, you know, I have a good amount of hope that this team can still come back and win the division.
For me, it depends where they get to at the bye. It's not just a division. The NFC is weak as a whole. They could get a wild card too. For me, it's I'm gonna wait and see how these next two games play out. I will be in the Meadowlands this Sunday.
All right.
My brother is a Ravens fan, so we're going down there. He's not happy either, man. They just fired their offensive coordinator today.
Which scares me because the Bills did the same thing and they've rattled off three straight.
Yeah, and you know what, the Ravens, last time they fired their offensive coordinator, you know what happened, right?
No, what happened?
They won the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
And guess what? After what game, you know, the team that they lost to lead them firing their offensive coordinator?
It was the Giants, wasn't it?
Nope, Washington Redskins. Oh. Who did they lose to yesterday?
The Washington Redskins.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Okay, so we're going to be in for a long Sunday. but, hey, I don't know if you're interested in meeting any of the podcast listeners, but if anyone's interested in meeting up with Weiss at the game, saying hi at the tailgate, I met a few people. When I was there a few weeks ago.
I'll probably put something out where I am, and if people want to come say hi, I can.
Sounds good.
But I'm just another dude.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just a fan like you. Yeah.
This is from Nick. Two Nicks in a row. This is, I don't even know this guy's last name or handle. I didn't copy it. Could the Giants pull a Bills and get rid of Spags mid-season? No. I touched on this earlier. No. I'd say, I tweeted this earlier, I'd say if they were getting rid of anybody on the staff, it would be Spagnuolo. That's not how the Giants do business, so they're not getting rid of anybody.
And I just had a conversation with somebody on he was sending me DMs, so I wanted to answer him. But 2009, they didn't fire Bill Sheridan until the end of the year. You think they're going to do that to Spags? No way.
No way.
No, it's not the way they do. It sometimes could be a pain in the behind, but to me, they should have never brought him back. But
yep,
you gotta just let the past be the past. You know,
yep.
Just leave it alone.
All right. I'm going to group in the next three questions together. Nicholas Mercuro, Old Dirty Beckham, and Dan Braun. I'm just going to rattle them off. They're all the same question. Is it time for the Giants to start moving on from Eli? With Eli being 35, do you think the hits have caught up with him? Any kind of pressure seems to rattle him. If Eli Manning doesn't get any better this season, is it time to move on from him? Okay, I already stated my confidence in Eli earlier. I'll say this. If there's a guy that the Giants like in the draft, they should take him. I think you brought up an incredible point earlier about people having this kind of false confidence in what they've seen out of both Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz, and I don't think that that's the norm. Eli was a guy who sat for a little bit before taking the reins. Aaron Rodgers is probably the best current example of a guy who sat, and he sat for 3 years before taking the reins. And we have basically come to accept that Ryan Nassib is not the future anyway. No. So if there's a guy they like at good value in the draft, I'm not opposed to them taking someone who they think they can groom to be his successor.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's for me, it's almost a lock that they're going to draft a quarterback in next year's draft.
They have to because Ryan Nassib's gone.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to bring back Nassib. I mean, if you need more of a clear picture of why Ryan Nassib is not coming back, they have three quarterbacks on the roster, mainly because they don't trust Ryan Nassib if something happens to Eli Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty simple like that. I think they're going to draft a quarterback. I don't know if it's going to be the first round. I think it would have to be the season would have to be a total disaster, and they would have to go like 4-12
yeah.
or 3-13 or something like that, where they're in position to grab one of the quarterbacks. And if they go 3-13, 4-12, you just have to completely clean house. Like, you can't even you can't if they go 3-13 or 4-12 or even 5-11. I will put that there. They have and John Mara sits up there in January, and he says, "I still believe in what I have right now." Then I give up as a fan. Because if you go 5-11, 4-12, 3-13 after two straight 6-10 seasons, then clearly you just need an overhaul.
Yeah.
And it will be, I think you said it, the GM will have to go. As much as I think Jerry Reese has done a good job, I think you have to part with him. If the GM goes, you're going to get a new GM who will probably want his own head coach.
Yep.
And who will probably want, that head coach probably want his own quarterback. Now, Eli still has two more years in his contract, but if there's a quarterback there that you like and you want to pounce on it, you're not going to pass that up just because you tied to Eli Manning for 2 years. It's just not the way it works in this league. So they will definitely draft a quarterback in the first round. And it'll only take a major disappointing season for that to happen. Yep. For that to happen to be in the first round, I would say.
Sure. Paul asks, do you think moving Flowers on the line will improve his performance? I do. I said it last year. I think that the guy could be, I don't know how to phrase this. I will say, I think he has the ability to be maybe a slightly above average guard in the league because of his size and the only area in which he excels really is run blocking. So I'll say that much.
Yeah, I mean, I still have hope for Flowers. He's still young. I understand how difficult the left tackle position is. But it wouldn't hurt to start seeing if you could play him at right or inside. But I don't think there's a spot for him inside. I think John Jerry has played really well. I mean, you can't move him inside. You got to think about right tackle. As far as the future of him, I don't think he could probably have a spot on this team. If it's the left tackle position, that'll be great. But he has to continue to improve, and we can't have these three steps back and that whole incident in the locker room can't happen.
Yep. And I apologize. I'll give Bobby Mack a shout out because he had a question about drafting a quarterback as well. So I'll throw him in that little bunch. And let's finish it off with Kyle Forsini. I get that
I also got one question too, so we'll answer that to end this podcast.
Okay.
So go ahead.
I get that we don't get a pass rush, but how much are these losses really on the defense? They aren't. I mean, the losses are very clearly on the offense. I just think that the offense is so bad that people aren't focusing on how bad of a job Spagnuolo is doing. That's my only point.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Offense has been bad, and it's on the offense, but the defensive coordinator has to do a better job being able to get to the quarterback.
Yep. What was your question?
So I got this Twitter DM in from a guy named Ryan. Last name he didn't want to be mentioned.
Okay.
But he says, if the Giants miss the playoffs, do you think that they will clean house? Or do you think that they will just fire the general manager but not the coach? I'll let you go.
I mean, I think we covered it. I think, you know, firing the general manager is essentially cleaning house because the new guy is going to want his coaches. Exactly. He's going to want his choice of quarterback, and he's going to get his choice in quarterback because if the Giants do decide to clean house, chances are they're going to have a decently high pick.
Let's say they go 8-8, 9-7.
8-8. I think maybe they package a lot of picks together to move up if there's a guy that they really like. But at the end of the day, listen, I don't think a GM being stuck with Eli Manning is the worst thing in the world. You know, we're talking about a league where Ryan Fitzpatrick was able to hold out for $12 million and a league in which the 49ers are clamoring for Christian Ponder to start. So, you know, let's not get it twisted. Obviously, the GM is going to want his own guy and probably to start fresh with a quarterback that he can groom. But at the same time, being stuck with Eli Manning for a year is, you know, that's far from, you know, anybody's worry.
Right. For me, it's simple. I think that unless it's a catastrophic season and things just go bad and 4-12, 3-13, we start getting into that. I think Jerry Reese, Ben McAdoo, and Eli Manning are going to be tied for the next 3 years. I think if it's back-to-back losing seasons, you might see that sort of contract cut short. But I think these three are kind of bundled together. And specifically McAdoo and Eli, but I think the GM as well. I think they're going to be tied together, and even if they miss the playoffs this year at 7-9, or even possibly another 6-10 season. Although I think 6-10 might garner a clean house too. But 7-9, 8-8, they miss the playoffs. I think they'll be back next year, all three of them. Then we go into next season. Does next season become that season of? Okay, playoffs are bust. But for me, I think they've done a good job assembling a team. It's just continuing to build on it. And I'm not giving out hope on this season, but I want to see what happens in the next 2 weeks. So I'll close it with that before we start thinking about what's going to happen with the general manager, or the head coach, or the quarterback.
Makes sense to me.
But I think they're tied together, if you know what I mean. They're going to be tied. You know, if you see two or three straight now moving on, if you see two or three straight seasons of missing the playoffs, then probably John Mara will cut that short, like 4-year contract short, and they'll all be gone. But to me, it's a 4-year contract. After the 4 years, depending on where they are, hopefully they'll have another Lombardi trophy in the case, and Eli can ride off into the sunset after that 4 years. But I would say right now the game plan is that those four are tied for the next 4 years. Or as long as Eli's contract goes out, and Ben McAdoo also has a 4-year contract that goes with Eli's contract, and I think Jerry Reese is possibly the same thing.
All right. I think that's it for us. Another solid hour of Giants talk. Guys, let's do some housekeeping, as hopefully my editor will play us out with some swaggy music. Follow me on Twitter at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Every retweet matters. I didn't mention this in the beginning. We're doing the giveaway next week. I will announce the prize later today. Weiss will talk over the final decision after I end the recording. And subscribe. 5 stars, reviews, everything. And if you're going to be at the game and you want to meet up with Weiss for a little bit, say hello, show some love, then slide into his DMs or send him a tweet.
Before we go, who wins Sunday? Giants finally getting the 3-game
winning streak? Yes, Giants are going to win. I'm not picking against them.
I think they win too. I think they win this game. It's a must win. I think it's at home. I think Baltimore lacks talent. They're on offense. Their offense is not good. Trustman was a scapegoat. I know he didn't play well. I'm familiar with this because I live in a household where there's a Ravens fan.
Yep.
I told him, I said, Trustman is your scapegoat. Your quarterback's not playing well. You're relying on a 37-year-old wide receiver whose body's starting to break down on him. I think the Giants win this game. And also, they might be without CJ Mosley this weekend too, so keep an eye on that.
Perfect. All right, that's all for us. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Peace.